This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And welcome to Lay Link here with Basha and Tiana. Joy 94.9. We are so happy to be here this evening, coming to you live from Melbourne, Australia. Please do send us a text on 0427 Joy 949. You can even email us at onair@joy.org.au. Hello, Basha.
Hello, Tian. Are you okay?
I am okay. Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Today is Are You Okay Day. We're going to be exploring a bit of Are You Okay Day later on in the show, aren't we?
We are.
And what else have we got up tonight for our lovely listeners?
Well, we're going to be talking about what kind of junk food do you have, snack food do you have in the house?
I have a lot.
You do, actually. And then we're going to be talking about a stroke victim that woke up gay.
That's actually a really interesting article.
It is.
Mm.
And a Lottle article about ditching the veil and all about what gay marriage, tell us what gay marriage means to you, people.
Yeah, we want to know.
You know, is it the white dress and is it the tux? What is it?
Is it about Birkenstocks?
Okay.
We're also going to be talking about Melbourne Spring Fashion Week and lesbian fashion and how they throw them in together this year. And a three-person civil union in South America and the events listing for Melbourne this week.
God, that's a big show.
It's going to be a big show. We're going to fit a lot in.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
We'll just talk really quickly.
Sometimes these things just don't go to plan, so we'll see how we go. Anyway, are you okay?
I am okay. Yeah. Are you okay?
I am okay. Now, snack foods, Basha.
Yes.
You have a lot of snack foods in
I
your
don't,
house,
actually.
Or a little amount?
I don't. I try to avoid having snack foods. I'm one of those people, like when I was at uni and stuff, and when you're writing assignments and doing exams, I would eat whatever was in the house. It wasn't hungry. It was just I had to have a bowl of something next to me and I would just eat it while I was doing my assignment or
fruit
studying.
And vegetables or just
no,
junk?
No, junk.
Junk. Chips.
Yeah.
Lollies.
And, yeah. And near the last semester of uni, I made sure I had nothing in the house.
Because you had to focus.
No, because my friend and I went to a chain that sells enormously large products in enormously large bags. And, yeah, I ate all that in about a month and thought, no, hit the treadmill like anything. I went, this is not good.
I like it.
So, yes, recently on the weekend, I decided to have a DVD evening.
Mm.
And I was sitting down watching some DVDs. And it was funny because what you're watching is not, like, I wasn't hungry. Like, when I was watching 30 Rock, not really hungry because they don't eat much in that show.
Yeah.
Big Bang Theory, they're always eating. I was starving. I was sitting there. I was running through the kitchen going, there's nothing to eat. I have nothing to eat. I have no lollies. I have no chocolate. You know it's desperate when you're like, Milo. That's about as, on cornflakes. Milo on cornflakes. Like,
oh, that is bad.
It's like, that's all I have in the house. It's like, this is so bad.
You should come to our house next time you have a DVD night. Come and have the DVD night at our house.
Well, I was sitting there thinking, I was all comfy and it was all nice. And I'm like, do I really want to get in the car and go to the local supermarket to buy like junk food at like ungodly hours of the night? I'm like, no.
No, you don't.
I don't. I'm in pajamas. I'm all nice and cozy. I don't want to move. But yes, and I just didn't have any fun food in the house. And I was reminded that you had a lot. And I sat there thinking of your pantry going, oh, I know she's got this and that and that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that was my my lolly experience and my snack food experience.
I feel like I need to defend myself. We have a lot of lollies in our house because my partner works at a lolly shop.
I know.
So that's okay.
Yeah, because you've got constant access to that, see?
Yeah.
I avoid those. I avoid the in the supermarket, I avoid what I call the fat aisles. So those three aisles with the soft drinks, the chocolates and the chips. I don't go down those aisles.
I've started avoiding the chocolate aisle now as well.
You know, I just avoid them and that's it. But then I have an event like on the weekend and it's like, no, I need food.
Gosh. Look, we want to know what junk food you've got in the house, but you can do that by sending us a text on 0427JOY949. You can even email at onair@joy.org.au. Coming up on the show, we've got the stroke victim who woke up gay, the Lottle article ditching the veil. What does gay marriage mean to you? Melbourne Spring Fashion Week, three-person civil union. It's going to be huge. Stay tuned. Now, welcome back to Leylink here with Basha and Tiana on Joy 94.9. Please do send us a text. We've been talking about junk food and now we're going to be talking about Are You Okay Day. So let us know if you are okay on 0427 Joy 949. You can even email us directly at onair@joy.org.au.
Yes, and I've got a message here saying DVDs and junk food are essential.
So to living.
Yeah, I think they're meaning it that together. But yes.
It's a match made in heaven.
It is. You just got to do that. So now, Are You Okay Day? So that's today.
All over the interweb today, Everyone was asking, are you okay? And it's fantastic to see that our lovely gay community has gotten this campaign and given it a big hug.
The whole community.
Yeah.
Not just the gay community, but the gay community as well. But
in particular.
The whole community, yes.
Because, you know, we deal with this stuff.
Well, you know, Are You Okay Day was launched at Parliament House in 2009.
Yes, in Canberra.
And after 3 years, it's estimated that 58% of Australian populations know about this day. Mm-hmm. So that's actually quite good.
And 1 in 5 Australians are actually getting involved, which is fantastic.
It is fantastic because Are You Okay Day is all about asking your family, friends, colleagues, people you hang with, if they're okay. And it's just to get them in touch with the community and make sure that people are okay and trying to help prevent unnecessary suicides. Mm. Not that they're unnecessary, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So, yes.
So basically it's about reaching out to one another and having open and honest conversations and just ensuring that everyone's checking in with each other. Because I don't think people check in with each other very often, do they? Not as much as they should.
I think they do with, like, Facebook and with, you know, things on your phone and stuff. I think you do. Like, if I don't hear from certain people, I'll send them messages, you know, with starting with, hello, stranger, still alive, what's going on? Like, haven't heard from you or seen you or whatever. And I think we have that option. So if you have your phone on you, I think people are more likely to start conversations, but of course it's always in a light-hearted. But yes, I had this week a few sort of deep and meaningful conversations with some people over coffee that were quite difficult conversations, but I wanted to make sure that these people were okay and that I was there to say, yeah, you know what, I'm here. If you want to tell me, tell me. If you don't, fine, but don't forget the fact that
you're putting yourself out there for people.
Yes.
And that's what this campaign is all about. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Putting
yourself out there and saying, you know, are you okay?
Yes.
How are you doing?
It's very important. And it's a not-for-profit organisation. It's basically there to prevent suicide in this country. It was inspired by the death of Barry Larkin. I believe his son started the campaign after his father's suicide. And it's dedicated to Barry and all the people who have died through suicide and to the families and friends who loved them. Because I think the son started it as a result of trying to deal with what had happened. I think that's what people forget with that. Yes, that you've got people, especially in like current economic climate, there are some people doing it tough out there at the moment. But you've also got to remember that you leave behind family and friends and maybe think twice.
We're not threatening people.
We're not.
No,
we're just shining a light on it. We just want everyone here.
I mean, the fact is that before this day was created and even still, there is quite a high suicide rate in this country. And by getting out there and, you know, opening up to people, they're hoping to start preventing that.
Yes.
And they are, as we are, shining a light on it. So it's important. Now, if you want some more information, you can Google Are You Okay Day. I did have a website, but I cannot find it. I'm sure Basha probably has it somewhere.
It's www.ruokday.com.
There you go.
But it's as in R and U.
I think
it's
they
the
got
letter
that.
R and the letter
yeah,
U.
I think
okay.
they got that.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Hey, some people don't like abbreviations. We have a friend who doesn't like abbreviations, so, you know, got to make that clear. Don't want them to go to the wrong website.
Oh, dear. Look, we will be talking a little bit more about that later. Today is Are You Okay Day, so turn to the person next to you and ask them if they are okay. Coming up on the rest of the show, we've got Stroke Victim That Woke Up Gay, the Lotto article Ditching the Veil, What Does Gay Marriage Mean to You? We Want to Know, Melbourne Spring Fashion Week, a 3-person civil union in South America, and the events listing for Melbourne for this weekend, so please do stay tuned. You are with Basha and Tian. This is Leylink on Joy. Welcome back to Leilink here with Basha and Tiana, Joy 94.9. Please do send us a message on 0427-JOY949. You can even email us at onair@joy.org.au. Basha?
Yes, we got a message from Diana in Germany. She says that she doesn't have any junk food, sweets or chocolates in the house. Well, I don't think we want to go visit her, but she says she has lots of chocolates and lollies at work.
Ooh.
Everyone brings different things at work and she stuffs her face with the junk at work and not at home. But, and a side note, I am okay.
We're glad to hear
you're
okay.
We're glad to hear that.
I'm also glad to hear about the bottom drawer thing because I didn't even think about that. My bottom drawer at work, filled with sweet things. Absolutely filled.
Where you keep Nat?
Funny. That's bad. I would like to, but I can't keep her. The drawer's too small.
I got you distracted now.
You did.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about this young man who, in Wales, so Chris Birch, was a 19-year-old rugby fan, beer-drinking man's man, and he was playing with some friends and he took a roll down a hill.
In 2011?
I believe he did this earlier. He's done this years ago.
2011.
Okay. I stand corrected. In 2011.
I read the research for once.
Anyway, and he had a stroke. What? And when he woke up, he started to have different feelings. So he was engaged to a female and everything. And then when he woke up, he started to identify more with men, and he changed his job and he changed his hairstyle and he changed his career and he broke up with his fiance and now he's in a happy, committed gay relationship.
Very nice paraphrasing.
Thank you.
Okay, so yes, Chris, this guy, he's pretty cool. Yeah, he did do a forward roll down a hill, which I've done before and I didn't know you could possibly give yourself a stroke. A stroke means that areas of the brain are starved of oxygen and the brain cells die and this causes damage. However, the brain can make new neural connections and find different pathways to achieve the same thing.
Yes.
Right? So basically his brain was damaged and his brain rewired itself so that he could think properly.
And on a side note, in regards to stroke victims, it's now been found, medical research has found that you try to keep the stroke victim cold. So you put ice on them and it actually helps them so that they don't get paralysed.
So you keep them on ice. Right.
So there you go. So if you see anyone having a stroke, quickly put some ice on them and get them to a hospital.
Okay, so some scientists believe it's possible that during this recovery process, the patient could discover a new skill, accent, or even a new sexuality. However, personality changes following a stroke are rare, and there have been no documented cases of a stroke changing a person's sexuality until now.
Yes.
So Chris was very straight, as you said, engaged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was pretty happy.
He worked in a bank.
Now he's a hairdresser.
Mm.
He is absolutely fabulous.
He does. He has some great hair. He's got a very similar hairstyle to yours, but just a little bit blonder and tipped. But yes.
Yeah,
he's cool.
This is really cool because I was watching a story about Chris on the news a couple of weeks ago. And that's when I suggested to you that maybe we should look at talking about Chris because his story is quite cool. You can Google him. His name is Chris Birch. And the BBC3 documentary is chronicling his attempt over the past few months to make sense of his new identity, basically. So they're following him around and filming everything and all the rest of it. So now he's engaged to Jack Powell, his boyfriend.
Who's equally cute. They make a very cute couple.
They're a very cute couple, yes. But, you know, there's a bit of downside too. So he's really struggling with keeping his relationship with his mother going. So that's unfortunate. You know, when he was quite ill, his mother took him back and forth to doctors and was very protective of him. But now he goes to his hospital appointments alone and he barely speaks to her. So he says here, it would be nice if my mother played more of a role in my life because I always seem happy in the photos that she is in. And he's referring to old photo albums that he's got. But he understands at the same time how difficult, you know, this change in his personality could be for her, as it would be for anyone.
Exactly. Yeah. I think she just needs time to just adjust to that this is him. And she's got to accept that, you know, and then hopefully.
Mm. It's really, I think at the end of the day, this story is quite fascinating because he's come out and he's come out, you know, and he said that despite all the difficulties, he's got no regrets over how life's turned out. Within a few months of moving out from home, he met his boyfriend and he's now fiance. And it's very, very interesting story. So I highly recommend people look it up and check it out because it's really cool. The doctor has come out. One of the doctors has come out.
Dr. Rahman.
Mm. And it's really interesting what he's doing because Mr. Birch visited him at Queen Mary University in London, and this doctor is an expert in human sexual orientation. Now, this guy has tested, and I quote, hundreds of gay and straight volunteers and discovered key neurological patterns that he believes reveal if a person might have been born gay or straight. Now, just a bit of moral. Do you think it's right for someone to be testing to figure out if someone's gay or straight?
I don't have an issue with a lot of testing. I think that it helps some people in our community, in the community at large, to accept gay people. And if they feel that there are some people who are born gay and there are people who then discover it later, whether it's there or not, I don't know. I don't have an issue with testing. I think testing is a good way because it sort of gives them black and white evidence which you can't argue against, and it can say, look, here's proof to say that it's there and now refute that.
So basically this doctor has suggested that the homosexual feelings that Mr. Birch feels have probably just been dormant and they've been brought to the surface by the stroke. So this isn't the first documented case of something radically changing with a person who's had a stroke, though. There was also a story, I think it was about a French man, I can't remember. Anyway, but he didn't have an artistic bone in his body. And after he had his stroke, one of the nurses suggested that he draws, you know. And so he was sitting there and he started doodling on a piece of paper. And all of a sudden he looked down and he had this amazing drawing in front of him. And he couldn't quite understand how previously having no artistic experience and knowing, yeah, completely, 100% knowing that he was never going to draw anything that looked good at all, he sat there and drew this amazing picture.
But that's exactly it, because he said during the interview that I never thought of painting or never thought of drawing. So he'd never accepted this fact. So he probably had this talent all his life and never realised it. And I think that's the same thing with Chris. I think it was there and he just never realised it. Chris grew up in a very small town in Wales, and he probably didn't have a lot of gay people around him, and he probably didn't have, you know, that
they were saying
prevalent,
the,
you know, that they were there to show him that, hey, this is something that you are missing out on or not aware of, and he didn't know. And then when the stroke happens, yes, different parts of the brain are awoken, and then comes out an artistic side, or, you know, this guy's gay side, which I think were always there. He just hid them.
It's the best part about this story is that at the very end, Chris says that why on earth would he want to change anything about his life now?
Well, he seems very happy.
He does seem very happy. So I think it's a positive outcome for him.
It is.
Definitely.
So there you go. There you can tell people that when they say that, you know, you can change someone from being straight, from being gay to straight, you know, like all those conversion therapies and stuff. Well, we have evidence the opposite.
We can turn you. No.
Yes.
Look, we do have a lot coming up in the show and we are trying to fit it all in, but we've been talking about Are You Okay Day and we want to know if you are okay. So please do send us a text on 0427JOY949. You can even email us at onair@joy.org.au. You're with Basha and Tian. This is our show, Lay Link on Joy. And welcome back to Lay Link with Basha and Tian on Joy 94.9. Please do send us a text on 0427JOY949. You can even email us at onair@joy.org.au, or you can head to joy.org.au, check out our program page and follow us on the Facebook.
Just like Ben did.
Yes.
Ben said a balanced diet is chocolate in both hands.
It was actually this really cute little photo that he posted, and he tagged me in it, and it said, yeah, balanced diet and chocolate is chocolate in both hands. And I completely agree.
So do I.
I'm a big fan of the chocolate.
Yeah, me too. The good quality stuff.
Look, we have been talking tonight about junk food, clearly, and how much we love it. And we've also been talking about Are You Okay Day, and we want to know if you're okay. So please do send us a message and let us know if you're okay. We like to get everyone involved. We've also been talking about the lovely stroke victim. I wouldn't call him a victim. I'd say he's lucky. He got to wake up and be absolutely fabulous. Yeah.
Stroke of genius. Stroke of luck.
Stroke of luck.
The stroke of luck of it.
I'm going to email him and tell him he's had a stroke of luck.
Yes, and he's now gay.
And he's now gay. Now, what else have we got, Basha?
Now, you sent me this interesting article this week about ditching the veil. So the Lottl article.
It's actually a really good article.
It is.
And basically, it's this woman has she's written this in. I'm trying to find it, as you can tell, with all the shuffling of papers.
Her name's Melissa.
Melissa.
She moved to France. She went on hold. I believe she went to France for a few years, and she said that if 3 years ago you told her that she'd fall in love with a French girl, move to France and proceed to have a, well, the French version of a civil ceremony,
yeah,
she would have told you that they were crazy. But that's exactly what she's done. And she had, and she was talking about the fact that, yes, has she succumbed to the fairy tale of marriage?
The female socially constructed idea of the most important day of your life is what she writes. So basically her girlfriend and her fought their hardest not to succumb to any preconceived fairy tale, and they just wanted to go along with it, you know?
Yep.
I don't know about you, Basha, but I want white dress, possibly doves, I don't know. It, for me, big
Hold on,
day
I thought
is
you didn't
day.
Want to get married.
What?
You keep changing your mind. Like, anyway, continue.
You know what? It comes down to the person that you meet at the end
know,
of the day.
I know,
right? Now, I'm going to read this straight from this article because it's actually really cool. it says here, the morning prior to our afternoon appointment, we found ourselves scrambling around our house and stressing about what we should wear. Apparently, we work best under pressure. Do we wear traditional white? Do we wear semi-formal attire? Do I attempt to put myself in a dress disregarding the fact that I haven't worn a dress in approximately 10 years? After a morning of stress, I pulled the reins when I realised one simple and painful fact. Because we are gay, we are forced to claim a secondary recognised tier of marriage. I felt a certain sense of irony couched within this fact, which led me to channel my inner California sense of self and totally disregard any notion of traditional attire. I put on a t-shirt, jean shorts, and my black and grey checkered Vans, grabbed my skateboard and said, let's do this. We arrived at the Marie of Bordeaux. We ran through all of the scenarios to which we could be denied our legal union. I could feel my heart pulse with the fear of rejection. We walked through security, sat down in the small plastic chairs dotting the waiting room, and anxiously stared at our watches. In almost simultaneous action, the translator arrived just as the officer du tribunal, I can't do French, guided us into her tiny office. We then sat in another pair of plastic chairs opposite of the oversized black desk while the overpaid interpreter hovered over to me to simply translate, sign here. We wiped the nervous fear off our faces once we learned that, yes, our paperwork was in order. We sighed with relief once the officer officially stamped our mountain of documents. Indeed, after approximately 15 minutes, we were PACS, which is what they call civil ceremony over there, right?
Yep.
So civilly married. And we left the concrete building to seal our second-tiered legal union with a kiss. Beautiful. So although I ditched the veil and opted for my checkered Vans, I'm happy to know that my new wife accepts me for just that. Not only did I realise that my big day was far from any fantasy that was falsely created in my head, but instead it was better. It was better because I never imagined finding someone who is so absolutely perfect for me.
It's a very cute and sweet article.
It is very cute.
And I love
sweet.
The fact that they were talking about all the bureaucracy that they had to go through with all the paperwork and then have to get it all translated and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous because you would think it wouldn't be that difficult. There wouldn't be that much paperwork, considering over here our legally binding marriages are just one document.
Yes, but that's also because she gets citizenship.
Oh, right.
She's allowed to become a resident. And then once you become European, you can go anywhere. So this is why they require...
You can go anywhere?
Yeah, well, you can go anywhere in Europe, so it's part of the EU. So that's why they're very careful about this. And they're trying to make sure that they're not illegal or they're not false. Or
so it's really interesting. This, you know, she calls it PACS, Pact Civil de Solidarité. If I'm butchering French, you're allowed to tell me. Basically, it, as I said, it's like a civil union over there. But one of the interesting facts is that the latest figures over there show that 75% of straight couples, for one reason or another, decide to get PACS rather than to actually marry.
We have the we have a similar statistic in Australia that we have about 70% of people getting married in this country who are only getting civil unions.
Mm.
They don't actually get church ceremonies. So it's like, well,
I wonder why that is.
I think because a lot of people are stemming away from the church. It's probably also the fact that the tradition, the expense, you know, if you've got two people who are marrying from different religious backgrounds, you've got to make a decision which one you choose. So you can't have that. So then you just go to the Civil Union.
Mm.
Quick, easy, painless.
If you would like to have a quick, easy, painless Civil Union, please let us know. You can send us a text on 0427JOY949. You can even email us at onair@joy.org.au or head over to joy.org.au and find our program page and link up with us on social media. You are listening to Basha and Tian. This is our show, Lay Link on Joy. Welcome back to Lay Link here with Basha and Tiana, Joy 94.9. We are nearing the end of our show. Basha.
Yes.
So you can check out the Lay Link Facebook page for event links or...
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you sent me an interesting article this week about a...
Lesbian
entitled
fashion?
Official, being a lesbian is now in fashion.
Well, it is.
I didn't realise it was ever not in fashion, but anyway, you know. But that's okay.
Basically, this article, it was written by Amy Coops, and she goes on to say, I was relieved this week to see that Style.com has finally cottoned on to what we purveyors of the gay agenda have been saying for some time. Lesbians, they're everywhere, and not just driving forklifts and striding purposefully down hospital and school corridors in our Birkenstocks. We have hit the catwalk.
I think comfy. We've been hitting the catwalk for years.
Yes, but quietly, in private. Our own catwalks.
Yeah.
It's a special walk you do after a one-night stand. Anyway.
No, that's a walk of shame.
Oh, right. I get them confused.
Yeah. one is strutting, the other is head down, you know, hiding.
Now, this is a very cool article. She goes on to say, the thing is, lesbian chic, or those of us pursuing the gay agenda, like to call it, androgyny is nothing new. Kate Moss was doing boyish before Rihanna was, but a twinkle in the great pop cosmos, and Riri, your shoes are great, and I'm going to let you finish. But Sarah Connor has the greatest combat boots of all time.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably. What this all boils down to is that lesbians are more visible. There you go. We're not doing our private catwalks anymore. Where we once had Melissa Etheridge and Ellen DeGeneres as the sole standard bearers, there now seems to be, as style, so prosaically... Cum's going to murder me for my killing of that word. Puts lesbians everywhere. They are everywhere. Is that a good thing? Undoubtedly. Is the concept of lesbian chic offensive? Perhaps. But is it any worse than heroin chic? Both are clearly symptoms of depravity. Yes, it represents the commodification. I did that one right, didn't I? Of sexuality and appropriation of an entire lifestyle into a singular look. But did anyone ever ask the hipsters how they felt about their mohair cardigans and fixies being writ large international psyche? Everyone likes to have a bit of a carry-on about lesbian fashion, don't they?
They do.
But do you think it's true that lesbians do have a very different sense of fashion?
Yes and no. Depends on the areas. So you'll have certain elements of the lesbian community where, yes, it's very distinctive fashion. I think in the femme community it's pretty much... whatever you feel. I don't know. I wear whatever I feel comfortable in. And yes, if that means it's an awkward pair of heels that are killing my feet, I will wear
them. So how do you feel comfortable in those if
it's
they're
called,
killing
it's,
your feet?
It's called stamina. You've just got to fight through it.
Right.
But yes, I will never take those shoes off when I'm out. As soon as I walk into the car or I get, you know, home, those shoes come off. Yes, I put them back in the cupboard, go never wear those again. And then next month there's an event. It's like, got to get those babies out. But, yeah, I just think you just wear what's comfortable. But there is that whole
androgynous look.
Thank you.
Yes.
And when you look past some of the stores' windows, you see that. You see the you know, they're doing the sort of the businessy type suits with the tie and things like that and sort of that Ellen-based style, and they're trying to push that into mainstream areas, which is okay, but it's very confusing for the femmes who have no gaydar because you're thinking they're all gay. It's like, but that's gay fashion, and then they do gay hairstyles.
They do. Oh, that's the one that really gets me. Okay, we shouldn't pigeonhole all looks and fashions as gay, but there is, I do believe, there is a certain look. Maybe I just have great gaydar and I...
You do.
Yeah. But no, the lesbian fashion, there is something different about lesbian fashion and I have not been able to quite put my finger on it, but I am investigating.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, there's fashion designers out there who are having a good chuckle to themselves, thinking how ridiculous they can make their clothes look and how many people will purchase them and buy them. And they do. But wear what's comfortable... Wear what you feel good in.
Wear what you feel good in. I like that.
Like our listener last week who sent us those cool cons that he wears.
Yeah, they
and
were
he loves
cool,
them,
weren't they? All right, look, we have had a very big show tonight. We've been talking about all different sorts of things, ditching the veil in France. That was a Lotto article. We've also been talking about, just recently, the Melbourne events listing for this weekend, what junk food you've had in the house, and the stroke victim that turned up gay. It's very fascinating stuff, isn't it?
It is. And yes, and of course, you know, it is Spring Fashion Week, so we've had all these very attractive thin women walking around. I was looking at my Facebook page and people were posting that there's all these like 30 hot women in the city and please feed them. She was tempted to like walk past them going, please, ladies, eat.
Look, if you do have a story of skinny, gorgeous looking models walking around the city, please do let us know. You can send us a text on 0427JOY949 and you can even email us at onair@joy.org.au. You're with Basha and Tian. This is our show, Lay Link on Joy. Welcome back to Lay Link. You're with Basha and Tian on Joy 94.9. We've had a cracking show this evening.
It has. It's a very quick hour.
It's a very quick hour. We've even run out of time. We can't even talk to you about the three-person civil union in South America.
So you'll just have to wait till next week.
You will have to wait till next week. You can tune in from 11 next Thursday, as per usual.
Or get our podcast. So go to our Joy page. Click on the podcast.
That's at joy.org.au.
Yes.
There is a podcast link.
Yes, and then go to Lay Link and then look for the podcast. So you can listen to us on the go.
There are a whole heap. I think nearly every single show that we've done is up there.
Yes. And there's a lot of other shows up there to also look at podcasts. So check out a few other shows there
while
you're there.
You can listen to great interviews from Her Society as well.
There are some great interviews from those ladies.
All right, well, that's it from us this week. Please do hook up with us on social media because we like it when you like us.
Yes, and you can send us emails and messages and photos.
And photos, not dodgy ones. Well, maybe. Up to you.
You like dodgy photos. Anyway, good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.